You're listening to the Art of Living Well podcast with Father Ian Van Heusen. Welcome back to the Art of Living Well podcast. In this episode, Father Ian discusses the five qualities that he sees that are helping people to adapt, find their mission during this pandemic. Enjoy.
All right, good to see everybody. Yeah, so we're testing out our live stream. So I'm giving this talk. We've had a little few hiccups, so that's you might be seeing some of that online. But let's start off with a prayer. I already gave this talk a little bit earlier, so it's kind of funny. I'm giving the same talk over and over again. We'll try to get all these bugs worked out. So in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, grant that in the midst of these difficult circumstances that we may have those qualities that help us to adapt and discover our mission, so that we may be of service to you and our neighbor. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So my whole title is I want to get into the five qualities of those who are crushing it during the midst of this coronavirus crisis. So these are the characteristics that I've seen that have helped people to adapt and flourish, to discover a mission, to also stay healthy, relatively speaking. Nobody is at their prime. Nobody is firing on all cylinders, but there's some who are working with what's going on and they're adapting to difficult circumstances. So the first one, not a surprise, adaptability and flexibility. What I think about, I was talking about with Tim and I was talking about with my team and early on, I was definitely a little fired up early on, but one of the things I talked about with them was our need to be flexible, to be adaptable. We didn't know what was going to be coming in the coming weeks. And we had to learn how to adapt day by day, week by week, especially in those first early on. And me and Tim were talking one day and we're just spitballing ideas about how businesses could be adapting. And we just thought of a lot of different ways. And our thinking was that you had to adapt and you had to adapt quickly. Some people are still struggling to adapt, but I would say save that away. Do you have a flexible and ability to adapt? So imagine this, like a sports game or something, baseball, soccer, football. Let's say a new rule is introduced into the game and you have to discover how to adapt to the new rule. That's kind of what happened early on. There was new parameters set. Some people just threw up their hands. They're like, you know what? We're just going to sit this one out. We're not going to do anything. I think a lot of those people are regretting that now, especially businesses, but also anybody, that if you've been just focusing on yourself for the past 5 weeks, you're probably regretting that a little bit. You probably wish maybe you had something that you were doing on a regular basis. Other people adapted. They figured out how they could be of service. They figured out how they could establish new routines. And this could be something as simple as praying more. This could be something as simple as praying for the mission, praying for other people. But whatever you do is adapting and being flexible, adapting to what the Army calls a VUCA environment, volatile, uncertain, changing, ambiguous. It wasn't clear what the government was asking us, but the creative people looked at the parameter, looked at the framework, and tried to figure out how to flourish. Number two, generosity, other focus. And before that, I'll take a break just to check with Sylvia. Are we still live streaming? Everything good? Okay, everything's good. Okay, cool. All right, next one, generosity and other focus. That is the people who are really flourishing. Early on, they thought about other people first. They thought about how they could be of service. So I want to get to this passage of laying down your life for a friend. In John chapter 15, verses 12 through 14, Jesus is talking to them in the upper room. He's establishing the pattern of their leadership. He's doing this at the Last Supper, the institution of the Eucharist, where he washes their feet as a symbol of what he wants them to do for other people. He gives them the Eucharist as the fundamental ritual of this new religion of Christianity, this new belief in him, in the power of the resurrection. And so what he says, this is my commandment. Love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. How can we be of service? You know, I think the people who are really most satisfied right now in life, I mean, it's relatively speaking, everybody's stressed out, as I said before. Nobody's at their prime. But the people who are doing a little bit better are the people who have people to care for, their family, their loved ones. There are people who are nurturing others, who are feeding others spiritually, intellectually, physically. You know, I mean, I was talking with some people who own a restaurant. I said, you really should be considering how to use your God-given talent for cooking to be of service to the less fortunate, to think less of yourself and more of others. generosity, other focus, number two. Number three, self-knowledge. Now, this one is a little bit unusual. And what I want to kind of get at with this is what I found is I found in my own self and with other people, one of the real dangers of the COVID crisis was that we'd become paralyzed. We'd become paralyzed and frustrated with ourselves, with the government, with the restrictions, with the situation, whatever you, with fear, whatever it might be. And if we had good self-knowledge before, we would recognize our weaknesses and we wouldn't be paralyzed by them. See, some people, a lot of ugliness is emerging. A lot of things that anger, frustration, sexual temptation, whatever it might be, a lot of that garbage is surfacing. And people, they maybe had illusions before. Oh, I'm such a good person. I don't know where this is coming from. And they didn't recognize their own capacity for evil, that there was that darkness within. And one of the things I believe is an antidote with this self-knowledge is a healthy dissatisfaction with yourself. Now, don't misunderstand this. This is not bad mental health. This is not beat yourself up. But developing a healthy dissatisfaction, recognizing your weaknesses, your limitations, being okay with them, not being paralyzed by your faults and your temptations and your struggles, even when other people point them out. See, when we have self-knowledge, we're aware and we recognize our dissatisfaction with this world, it strengthens us. So when that stuff emerges, we're not paralyzed. So one of the verses I want to get at with this is John chapter 12, 24 through 25. And our Lord says, amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. So that idea of dying to self. Now, this is the next part I want to get into a little bit more. Whoever loves his life loses it. How many of us loved our life before? And we weren't willing to let it go. Maybe that first week we were clinging to what we'd been doing before. We'd been like, oh, I wish I could do this. I wish, I wish, I wish. Instead of saying, no, I need to adapt. I need to die to self. I need to adapt to this volatile, uncertain, changing, ambiguous situation. And whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Those who had a healthy dissatisfaction, who were willing to embrace discomfort, when this crisis arose and they had that self-knowledge, they're like, okay, a new challenge. Let me kick it into a new gear. Let me adapt in a new way because I've never been completely satisfied. And the reality is we always have to deal with the fact that we have our ideals and then we have where we are. And there's always a gap in our organizations and ourselves between our ideals and where we want to be. Number four, strong network of relationships. I want to get into this, not just that we have a strong network of relationships, that we have a lot of people on our phone, but the quality of our relationships. Jesus, one of the key qualities of his key collaborators is, I believe it's in John chapter 15. Again, the Last Supper discourse. He says, I no longer call you slaves because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I've told you everything I have heard from my Father. There's a lot of talk about clericalism and clericalism within the priesthood and within. I don't think it's something unique to priests and religious, but it's an attitude of authority. And that is, do you understand authority as being collaborative? That is, you want to build synergy with those underneath you. You want to build a team environment. Or is everything focused on you that you feel like you have to have all the answers if you're an authority, if you're a leader? Are you willing to collaborate? And what I've seen is the people that had those strong relationships of collaboration were able to do so much more than everybody else. They had five or six people that they could call on, that they could collaborate with, they could move with. The people in their offices and their businesses were willing to step up and go the extra mile. I've heard that from a lot of businessmen who've just adapted. People are willing to adapt and be flexible with the situation. I've also heard from other businessmen of businesses that haven't had that mentality, that they've stayed fixed and conventional versus having that flexible outlook. And what I would say is if you invest in people and you invest a lot in other people in those relationships beforehand, it paid off during this crisis. And one of the sayings, another saying of Jesus another scripture passage is, to those who have, more will be given. There's a sense that those who came into this with strong relationships, strong spirit of collaboration, people they've invested in, were able to do so much more because they were able to reach out. They were able to multiply their efforts. The army talks about what they call force multipliers. And many people in this crisis, the real heroes, were able to be force multipliers. Number five, and the last point, strong ideals, strong interior moral compass, and a strong interior life. One of the biggest parts of this challenge early on was all of the conflicting information and the conflicting voices. Those who didn't have a strong sense of mission and an ability to tune out a lot, to tune out the negativity, to tune out the voices of condemnation. Maybe they've spent the last 3 weeks getting wrapped up in political debates, spinning their wheels about what the government is doing and not focusing on their mission. See, that's the thing is you can even be right in this sense, but if you're not listening to the voice of the shepherd, you're not going to be effective. And I don't go this, John chapter 10, he talks about the good shepherd. And the sheep hear the voice of the good shepherd. They know his voice. And they know him from the robbers and the thieves. And the robbers and the thieves represent those thoughts, that interior voice, even if it's correct, that's going to rob us of our productivity and our effectivity, our ability to multiply our efforts, to reach out. So I want to ask you right now, do you think you've been effective in the midst of this crisis? If not, I'm not here to judge. I want you to really consider, you're going to have another crisis in your life. I've said this before. This is not going to be the last time. Maybe it'll be the last time that all of us together for the next 10 or 20 years are going through the same thing together. But try to learn from this. Try to grow. Have that growth mentality. And if you're crushing it, praise the Lord. That's awesome. Try to reflect on maybe how you can help others to learn from what you've learned. So consider that today. These are the five characteristics of those who are crushing it during the coronavirus. Amen.